Hey guys, today's episode of Sports Spectrum is presented by our friends at Water Mission. They've been partners with us for the last few years and do an amazing job at helping people in need, particularly those who are in need of clean, safe water. They are a Christian engineering nonprofit providing clean, safe water and, most importantly, God's love to people all around the world in need. If you're looking to a charity, to a ministry that you want to get involved with, there's no one better than Water Mission. Check them out at watermission.org/join the team. watermission.org/join the team. You can get involved today and check out the great work by our partners at Water Mission. watermission.org/join the team.
Welcome into the Sports Spectrum Podcast, where we bring Jesus into the sports conversation. Here's your host for today, Jason Romano.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. I am Jason. This is the intersection of sports and faith, the Sports Spectrum Podcast. We've been doing this since 1985, and what an honor and a privilege it is to be a part of this ministry where we can have conversations about Jesus, conversations about sports, and the intersection of two of the most unique ways, I think, that people can be connected, using sports as a vehicle to share the gospel. You can find us at our website, sportsspectrum.com, for all of our content. We got articles and testimonials. You have devotionals there Monday through Friday. We have all of our podcasts there. Definitely the hub, the place to check out each and every day, sportsspectrum.com. When you're there, you can sign up for our weekly newsletter. That's a great way to stay in touch with all that we have going on. You can just put your email into that newsletter area and subscribe, and then we will send you once a week an email updating you on all of the different things happening at Sports Spectrum. And again, you can sign up at sportsspectrum.com. Now, today on the show, this is a really awesome conversation, pleasantly surprising, if I'm being honest, and I'll explain that in a second. Brea Choquette is our guest here on Sports Spectrum. She's a former Baylor University women's volleyball player, graduated with the class of 2020, earned academic honors all 4 years of her career. She was part of the winningest senior class in Baylor volleyball history. Her last year, she made it to the Final Four, a national semifinalist with Baylor, and had 4 consecutive NCAA tournament appearances, 4 20-win seasons. Brea also comes from a sports family. Her dad, Melvin Hunt, played basketball at Baylor from 1987 to 91. And has coached in the NBA for many, many years. She's actually got some really fun stories of being the daughter of an NBA coach here today on the show. But Brea and I did not know each other before this interview. In fact, I didn't even, you know, have her on my radar, if you will, of somebody to talk to. And this is not a knock on Brea at all. It's hard to find every single person that's out there who loves Jesus and is a part of athletics to have them on the show. But a nice young lady named Jenna Moore, who is a fan of our Sports Spectrum platform, and I'm guessing this podcast as well, sent us an email recommending Brea as a guest on Sports Spectrum. We went through Brea's journey, and I said, yes, let's have her on. And there's a lot of different unique, I think, conversations that we can have within this, because Brea is currently the girls student minister at Highland Baptist Church in Waco, Texas. So she left athletics, played at a high level in college, and went into ministry to serve teens, 6th grade through 12th grade at church. So there's a lot of, let's say, walking by faith and not by sight in that decision that Brea made. And we have a wonderful conversation as Brea and I both get on the Hot Mess Express, which you'll hear about in a second, and discuss faith and discuss sports and volleyball, and certainly teens and the unique culture of student ministry. This is Brea Choquette. She's awesome. I think you're going to love this conversation on Sports Spectrum. Hi, Brea. Welcome to Sports Spectrum. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here.
It's good to talk to you. I love these kind of conversations because you and I don't know each other. We were actually introduced through somebody who I also didn't know, but reached out listening to Sports Spectrum, loves our platform, and said, you have to have Brea Choquette on. And I know you're a former volleyball player with Baylor. You're also in ministry now, working at Highland Baptist Church in Waco. So there's a lot to talk about here, because I was intrigued by your story. I know your dad is a longtime NBA coach. So there's different things to talk about here, Brea, but I'm glad you're on the podcast. The thing I want to start with, I think, is, again, the person who shared, you know, the idea of having you on, we'll just leave her nameless for now. Maybe she wants her name out there eventually, but I'll just keep the anonymity there so she's not feeling embarrassed or whatever. But when she reached out, she called you this, quote, "one of the wisest and faithful servants of the kingdom that I know." And I thought, okay, that's a great place to start. What's your reaction when you hear that? One of the wisest and faithful servants of the kingdom.
Well, I'm just going to drop the anonymity. Jenna Moore, thank you so much. That is so kind.
Yes, Jenna.
It's an honor. It really is. There are people that like get to see your life from far away, and then there are people that get to see your life up close. And right. Jenna has seen both of those things. And so that's just an honor. And ultimately, one of those things as a believer that you hope people say about you. And thank you for sharing that with me.
Yeah.
I feel so encouraged today.
Yes. That was the first email she reached out, Jenna, and said she's one of the wisest and faithful servants of the kingdom. And that always piques my interest. I love talking to the athletes that we talk to at Sports Spectrum, the former athletes, the coaches. But when I can talk to someone who's serving in ministry, that's always most intriguing to me, because that's kingdom work. That's what we do at Sports Spectrum. It's kingdom work. That wisdom that she mentioned, and maybe you don't see it that way, but where do you think that wisdom comes from, Brea?
Yeah, I'm blessed with a family of believers that goes back from generation to generation. I'm married to a man who has a family that has generations of believers. And so my mom, Carmen, and my dad, Melvin, were pouring the word over me from when I was in the womb till I graduated college. And so I think that's one, just my family. And then two, the Holy Spirit. He gives me the words to say when I need to say them. I even prayed before I came on. I'm like, I'm nervous. I don't know, you know, what to say, but the Holy Spirit can give us the words that we need to say at the exact moment. So that's all them. Me, I'm a hot mess express.
No, a hot mess express. I love that. No, see, that's good though. That's humility, because I think all of us need to remember that if we had it all figured out, we certainly wouldn't need God, because that's where we can get in the way and try to play God in our lives too. So the hot mess express, I think we're all on that train. Let's just put it that way, Brea. You play college volleyball at Baylor, a very high level at Baylor University. Let's go there. Describe your experience at Baylor, what it was like to play volleyball there.
Yeah, I think the experience starts by my senior year of high school. Most athletes that play at that level are committed long before their senior year of high school. And I absolutely was not. Late March of my senior year of high school, I thought maybe I'll go to community college to figure out like if I can play. But God swung open the door to Baylor. I was on a mission trip in Africa and I fell in a hole. This is just on the side. Sprained my ankle.
Yeah.
And when I got back home from the trip, I had an email from Baylor saying, hey, we had a girl that decommitted and we'd love to come and watch you play. And I said, I just fell in a hole and I have one more tournament and I'm a senior.
Yeah.
And so the coach was intrigued by that story. So he called, which Ryan McGuire changed my life, but that phone call changed my life. He called me and basically asked, like, why should I put you on my team? I'm like, well, you haven't even seen me play. Like, I don't know. And then I thought, I think that God is opening this door. Let me share my testimony. And so I shared that I believe that my life could be a life that exemplifies that normal people can do extraordinary things through the gospel.
Yeah.
And so he said, you know what? The Holy Spirit, I'm a believer too. The Holy Spirit's telling me, give you a chance. Would you come onto campus? And when I came to campus, he offered me a spot on the team. And so that's how it started. And that's basically how it ended, was the Holy Spirit, the Lord powering that whole time, those whole 4 years. And so Got to Baylor, trained, and was way out of my league. Like, the girls were so talented, and I was overwhelmed, but we had great coaches who trained me all the way through, stuck with me. And by my senior year, I got to be a captain on a Final Four team. We got to beat Texas, which was one of my favorite experiences at home. And so it was a joy. I am a true competitor. My friends might say it's a little too much, but I got to use that for the gospel, and it was just a blast.
That's awesome. I love that story, Brea, honestly, because it's not the, five-star recruit or whatever word you want to use to, use like a football or a basketball scenario of coming in and highly touted. Like you were on a missions trip and you fell in. Like where was that missions trip, by the way? In Africa, you said, right?
Yeah, it was in Uganda,
Uganda.
Entebbe.
Well, how did that come about? Just being in high school and going on a missions trip? That's a big deal.
My senior year, I transferred because my dad started coaching for the Dallas Mavericks. And we transferred in, and we couldn't get into the local public school for zoning rules, blah, blah, blah. We ended up going to Prestonwood Christian Academy. And they had a yearly trip that went to Uganda. So I was like, I have to do this. And it was amazing.
Wow. Have you been back since or gone on a missions trip since?
Yes. With our students, actually, we go to Guatemala once a year. So I've gone there a couple times. I've been to Kenya with the Baylor volleyball team, been to Mexico with the Baylor volleyball team. I've been to Mexico by myself.
Wait a minute.
So,
So you
yeah.
go as part of Baylor. Baylor took you guys to and or women to Kenya.
Yeah, so
Tell
that
us
was
that
the
trip.
start.
Yeah, I want to hear
It was
that.
crazy. It was basically the start of my senior year, which I think had a lot to do with our success, honestly. Our team was bonded in a way that I don't think other programs were. But basically, our coach imparted this vision to us that we received the blessing of like being athletes and being in a Christian environment. And so we wanted to give that away. Like, we wanted to share that with people. So we got to go to Kenya as a team, and we went to different orphanages, and we ran like fun sports camps, and we had so much fun. And then we also got to play in a grass volleyball tournament, which was very humbling because we thought we were very great athletes, which we ended up winning. But the grass was very challenging, and the Kenyan teams were amazing. And so it was really fun, really competitive. And it was challenging also because we were girls from Waco and Houston and America. And it was hot, it was humid, it was way different culture than we had experienced. So it was a challenge, and it definitely brought us together in a way that was really special.
And did you see a culture of people that love God in a different way than we have been programmed to, I guess, in America?
Yeah, when we were in those orphanages, the women that were leading in a way that I just was so impressed by. Just the humility and the trust in the Lord. Like, they were women who had gone through so many different things, and then instead of like trying to build up their own life, they poured out to these kids. But then also, like, even talking about getting food for the kids, they were just trusting the Lord for literal daily bread, which is something that we don't really. We should experience, but we don't a lot of the times have to. And so that was really impactful for all of us. I think we were just so grateful when we got into the locker room and had granola bars. We're like, this is awesome. You know, we don't even have to think about this. And so,
That's good.
yeah, it was a great trip.
Brea Choquette is our guest here on Sports Spectrum, play volleyball with Baylor. I don't know. As you were growing up, you said that, you were in a faith-filled home that spanned generations, which I love. But there's still a moment as you get older where that faith is no longer your parents or someone else's or a family's version of that faith. It's yours. Do you have a moment or a time when you made a decision and said, you know what, I'm in here for me and my relationship with Christ and not anybody else's?
This is just like a challenge to athletes who are believers. We love to win. And so that is like a gift from the Lord, but it also can be a tool that distracts. And so for me, growing up all the way through up until high school, my goal was to make my parents happy, get good grades, and kill it on the field, kill it on the court. Like I played several sports. And so that can be distracting because that is not what it means to be a part of God's kingdom. Ultimately, what it means to be in God's kingdom is to love him with all that you have and trust him with everything that you have. And so the point for me was I got to Baylor my freshman year and we were a few weeks in and I was overwhelmed to the max. My whole life, my dream was be a D1 athlete specifically at Baylor. And I got there and I was like, so now what? Like, what do I do? I'm not good on the team. School is way harder than I anticipated. Like, I am overwhelmed. My identity is gone. Like, what do I do? And I remember sitting in Baylor Chapel and I heard the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you sweet peace. And so they called that out in the middle of chapel. And I thought, I've heard that before. And I remembered my mom used to say that to me growing up. And I remembered at that point, like I had a choice, literally like what you said, I had a choice. Am I going to believe the words that my mom said or for myself, or am I going to just let that be like a nursery thing that she said? And I chose at that point, there was a girl on our team, Cameron Freiberg. And she was a believer and I knew she was walking with Jesus personally. And so after a difficult freshman year, I went to her and I said, hey, Cameron, can you teach me what it means to really follow Jesus? Hmm. And so we started sitting in our locker room together. We went through Galatians and Paul is just powerful with his words. He's like, who has bewitched you? Like, how are you not following Jesus? And that's how I felt. Like my whole life I'd heard this gospel and what happened to me? Like, how am I not following it? And so Galatians 5:1 says it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, do not return to the yoke of slavery. And so from that point, I realized I was like, God set me free. Like, why am I living in bondage to sport, to school? Like, I should enjoy these things because that's what he made me to do. And so from that point on, I joined Highland my sophomore year of college, started serving, got discipled by Cameron and some women at my church. Started really learning how to study the word. And then from there, athletics took a whole nother change. School took a whole nother change. My friendships took a whole nother change. Yeah. Everything was eternal. Like it was impactful, it was significant, but not scary, if that makes sense. Like important, but not overwhelming.
My life, when that happened to me, I saw everything as a possible opportunity for ministry. And it's not that I was walking around with a Bible in my hand telling people, you got to repent, you got to repent. That wasn't the case. Yeah. But I started seeing my job, seeing opportunities wherever I went to be an ambassador for Christ everywhere I was going. Is that what was taking place with you, particularly inside that volleyball team, I would have to imagine as well?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Basically, they went from being my competition of getting onto the court to my future sisters in Christ. And so what happened basically was there were three girls on our team that were walking with Jesus. And I wouldn't say at that point I was. And those three girls poured into me. And then I realized, like, now that I'm following Jesus faithfully, like, let me pour into my teammates. And so from then, we had two other teammates who came to know the Lord. And then from there, they shared their faith with the new freshman class, and that whole freshman class came to know the Lord. Wow. And some of them, not even faith backgrounds. And so it was just an opportunity for us to play sports, enjoy school. But so much more than that, to advance his kingdom. And one of my favorite stories, of that kind of trickle down was Yasi Presley. She was National Player of the Year. You should get her on here. She was National Player of the Year, my senior year, her junior year, and just heard about the gospel from her team over and over and over again. And then her last season, she came to know the Lord and had so many opportunities to share her faith with people. And she was like my sweet mate all the time. And so we would sit and talk about boys, we would talk about sports, we would talk about Jesus, and I loved her so much. And I was like, just figure it out, please, like, God, save her. And then we got to see that God did save her, and that was like one of my favorite moments. Was she had success on the court, but so much more so success in the kingdom.
Don't you see that as an opportunity to like love people first before you start trying to convert anybody. And quite honestly, I think as believers who hopefully who are listening, we should never be trying to convert anybody. Let the Holy Spirit do the job. That's not our job. But just loving people opens up doors to be able to share the gospel, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's what Jesus did. So we should do the same.
That's a great way to put it. We should do the same. Now, you mentioned your dad. He said he was Dallas Mavericks coach at the time when you were coming in and transferring there in high school. But he's been a coach for a while and been on a few different programs. Was that what it was like as a kid? Were you traveling a lot because your dad had different jobs in different places?
Yes. We lived everywhere.
So go through the cities where you were living, if you can remember them.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I was born in Waco because both my parents went to Baylor, and my dad was working at Baylor. Then they had me. We moved to, I think, San Antonio. He worked with Incarnate Word. Okay. And then he got called to Houston to work with the Houston Rockets. We were there for a good stint. And then from the Houston Rockets, it was the LA Lakers. Mm-hmm. And then the LA Lakers to the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cleveland Cavaliers to the Denver Nuggets. Denver Nuggets to Dallas Mavericks. And then he ended up with the Atlanta Hawks.
Wow. All right. So you have to have a couple of like really cool NBA stories of meeting, you know, some of the greats because of the job that your dad had. Share one of those if you could.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite time when my dad was an NBA coach was when I was in middle school with the Cavs. Because the Cavs organization, Dan Gilbert, thank you for making that experience awesome. He's just a family man. So we were allowed to go to practice. And so I was playing basketball at the time, and getting to like watch LeBron practice was so cool. Seeing them shoot half court shots. I'm like, how are they doing? You know, this is amazing.
Yes.
But more than that, like LeBron would reach out to my brother and I after practice and be like, okay, how was that game? How'd you do in that volleyball tournament?
Wow.
You know, so things like that were really cool growing up. And I think it was a great perspective because I realized from a young age that they're just people, you know, they seem like celebrity alien, you know, mystical beings. And really they're just people that are weird and awesome and normal. Yeah. All of the above.
What was the train that we're all on again? You said in the beginning,
the Hot Mess Express.
Yeah. They're on the Hot Mess Express too, right?
Exactly.
I love that. So when you were coming to finishing up your career, you graduated, I think, in 2020, right? So did you not have you didn't have a normal graduation, I'm presuming.
I did not. I realized I graduated when I clicked submit on my last exam.
That was it.
And then I was like a little nervous, like, did I finish everything? And then a few weeks later, I got my diploma in the mail. So
didn't even get to have it. Did you ever have a graduation where you could walk in there and all that?
Yeah, they had a follow-up one. But at that point, I was like, we're like a year and a half out.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep moving.
Moving on.
So I didn't go. Yeah.
So when did you make the decision, or at what point did you realize that ministry was the next step? Because you are now the girl student minister at Highland Baptist. You said you were attending Highland Baptist when you were playing, when you were in college. What ministry is ministry, right? Actually going into it and being a part of a church and working there is a different animal than just kind of volunteering and then doing another job. Tell me about that and maybe take us through the process of ministry post college.
Yeah. So while I was at Baylor and at Highland, I started going on other mission trips. I forgot to say I went to England. So I went to England twice while I was in college.
Nice.
And while I was in England, my love for the church changed because I saw believers who were absolutely a part of the church, and they had 7 believers in their 2 million person town. Wow. And so that for me was overwhelmingly significant. Like, I just thought, wow, like, when God says the gates of hell will not prevail against his church, he means something. Like, these 7 believers have so much faith that people are going to come to know the Lord. I want to be a part of that. Mm. And so when I came back, I started pouring out even more in my church just because I thought this is important. And so my senior year came and I thought I was going to go to PT school at Baylor. And I got in, praise the Lord. And COVID happened. And I was sitting there waiting May 15th, submitted everything, got in. And I just had this like kind of pit in my stomach, like, am I going to be online for the next 2 years? I want to be around people. Like, God made me for people. And Highland called me out of the blue and said, hey, you've been serving for the past 3 years, and we have a position with our youth ministry team. Would you be interested? And I was like, people or computers? So for me, it was a no-brainer. I did end up praying significantly about it, and I thought it was going to be maybe a year-long position. But then I ended up falling in love with Highland students, Highland staff, and so that's why I'm still with the youth ministry, because I love the teenagers. They are 100% on the Hot Mess Express with me, and so it's fun to do life with people, and just point them to Jesus as much as I can.
I
But
mean,
it's a big job. It's important.
well, I think about, I mean, I worked in youth ministry with the teens at my church, volunteering on
Okay.
Saturday nights for probably 4 or 5 years. And I had such a yearning and a hunger to pour into them. And then I have my own daughter who was a middle school Hot Mess Express ticket. I think she was a season ticket holder on the Hot Mess Express. Let's just put it that way. And those are tough years. My point being, and my daughter is amazing. I love her to death, and she's a great kid. But those years are really tough. So I'm imagining there's times when you probably wish you were on that online course taking, PT or whatever you were doing to try and get the physical therapy. But ultimately, they're the future. They're like, they're so, I think there's such a, there's such a difficult age to pour into, but at the same time, when you can connect in a really unique way, it's a beautiful thing to be around. Can you kind of just share real quick about what's been like for you, ministering to these young people?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. There are some days where I feel like, why did I sign up for this? Like, I have poured out my life for a year, trying to teach this girl the word and trying to show her, like, this is the way that you should go. And then she gets a boyfriend and it's all over. Like, everything I said was nothing, and I am devastated. But then on the other end, there are people that sometimes they just the light bulb clicks, the Holy Spirit convicts them, and they're like starting Bible studies at their schools, getting made fun of for their faith and being faithful. And I'm like, this is living. Like, this is what it's about. Or getting to baptize students. That's been one of my like favorite parts of the job, is having students that are like, no, I really truly want to follow Jesus, not for my parents. Not because it's the right thing to do, but because Jesus died for me. And that's like, I mean, my boss always says that in ministry, the currency is not dollars, it's stories. And so getting to have like a part of those stories is such a joy and worth all of the pain. And I think that that's the same way that Jesus feels. Like, he's like, I poured out my life for you guys. Why don't you understand? Why aren't you following me? Do
Completely.
you really think that's worth it? And so there's a devastation, but then there's also this immense joy that he has when we realize, you know what, I'm going to forsake the world and I'm going to follow you. And so I get to understand more of what Christ feels like. And so, and I get paid for it a little bit,
That's all
which
right.
is awesome.
Well, if you're in it for the money, you shouldn't be in ministry. I tell people that all the time. You're not in it for the money. Like you say, you're in it for the souls, for the lives, for the people that you're impacting each day. When you're around these teens and around these young people, as you think about this, I think, 'cause we have, again, a lot of parents of young teens and people in the age that you're ministering to, what do you see as the biggest battle or their biggest struggle that these young people are going through who you serve each week, especially in this day and age, right? In 2023, it's just different from probably from when you were that age, and definitely from when I was that age back in the 80s and early 90s.
I think for all teens in general, probably across the span of time, it's been identity issues. Like, this is when you kind of are wrestling with, am I gonna do everything that my parents said, or am I gonna be what my family is, or am I gonna be my own, or am I gonna turn from them? And that's a good thing, because they should be like solidifying who they are. But also, it's a tool for the enemy to attack their identity. And so, especially in 2023, there's gender identity issues. I am so surprised by our students how politically involved they are with who they are. I'm like, you can't vote, but like, it's very important to them. And so I think the world just like overwhelms them with, this is who you should be. This is who you are. This is, and so at the same time as the church, our job is to speak the truth over them, that they were made in the image of God. And that's where their identity comes from. That's where their worth comes from. Not from being a great athlete, not from having the boyfriend or girlfriend, not from, any other thing that they can tie their life to, but rather tie their life to Christ. And so, yeah, it's identity confusion and specifically an attack from the enemy on trying to tell them that they're not image bearers.
Yeah. Well, and then now you get to do that with your own baby. You just became a mom. Now we still got about 12 years before they can, you know, is it a daughter that you had, a little girl?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anthem Grace.
There you go. That's a beautiful name. So your daughter coming into middle school, we don't want to think about that too far ahead, but what's mommyhood done for you, and maybe how has it changed or shaped or refocused how you see Jesus in your life?
Yeah, I think I already alluded to it, but like, whenever she does the smallest thing, like she rolled over this past week, I am, and my husband, Riley, we are like ecstatic, cloud nine, cheering. And it's like the smallest little thing. She rolled over. But I think that's how Jesus is. Like, I really do think that God, when he sees us, he delights in our small victories. And so when we wake up in the morning and we're like, the first thing I want to do is to spend time with the Lord. I think he's like in heaven. He's like, yes, like this is the best thing ever. And when we do things wrong, obviously he's upset, but not in a way that's condemning, but in a way that's just like, oh, I wish so much more for you. And so I think I'm just starting to understand a little bit more of the Father's love for us, like as a parent. And so, yeah, if parents are listening to this, keep loving your kids. I'm apologizing on behalf of all kids. Like, we just don't get it. We don't get it. And just stick with us.
Yeah.
So I've had to call my mom and tell her, I've had to call my dad, tell them like, you guys are the best. I'm sorry for the eye rolls. I'm sorry for the ways that I was just frustrating.
Yeah. The Hot Mess Express, Brea. That's where we're on. The Hot Mess Express.
Exactly.
She is Brea Choquette. Hey, this has been a wonderful conversation. Thanks for being here. All the best to you. I know you did a little broadcast work recently too last year, so maybe that's another avenue that God might direct you to. But either way, keep doing what you're doing, especially with those teens. It's going to make a huge difference in the lives of the kingdom and the lives of those people that you're impacting. So keep doing what you're doing, and we appreciate you joining us here on the show.
Thank you so much.
And many thanks to Brea Choquette for being our guest today on Sports Spectrum, formerly Brea Hunt, when she was at Baylor doing her thing as a women's volleyball player there and getting all the way to the Final Four in her senior year. That's a high level of volleyball, by the way, the Big 12. And pretty good stuff there from Brea. I loved so much of what she had to say. Certainly the Hot Mess Express was something that I'm going to be using, I think, going forward, because we are all on that train, unfortunately. But I loved her LeBron James story and being a kid growing up and getting to be at practice with the Cleveland Cavaliers when LeBron was playing and her dad was coaching him. How about missions trips to Uganda and to a few other places, to England, she said, and the missions trip that she was on even to get into Baylor, and her, you know, stepping in a hole, spraining her ankle, and the next thing you know, she's getting a chance to be a Division I volleyball player when she wasn't even sure if she'd be playing community college volleyball later that year. And then now becoming a mom and just the work that she's doing as a student minister for the women, for the girls at Highland Baptist Church in Waco. Really good stuff here. Lots of takeaways, I think, from Brea Choquette. And we appreciate her coming on Sports Spectrum. And we also give a shout out again to Jenna Moore for reaching out and suggesting Brea as a guest. And that leads me to you. You can do the same thing. If you have a guest idea, somebody that we should be talking to here at Sports Spectrum, the conversations that we have, if you listen, you know what they're about, Jesus and sports and those two worlds intersecting. You can email me directly, jason@sportsspectrum.com. That's my email address, jason@sportsspectrum.com. Let me know who you think we should be talking to here on the Sports Spectrum podcast. And if it's somebody you know and you want to make an introduction, even better. jason@sportsspectrum.com. You can email me directly. And we appreciate you not only tuning in, but letting others know about the ministry of Sports Spectrum. Make sure you click that subscribe or that follow button on whatever app you're listening to podcasts on. That way you don't miss any more episodes and wonderful conversations like today's with Brea. And then please do tune in next time for another conversation, another opportunity to hear the intersection of sports and faith. This is the Sports Spectrum Podcast. We'll see you next time and have a great rest of your day.